The following was at the Baltimore meeting, the third Sunday in March 1977. The following was at the Baltimore meeting, the third Sunday in March 1977.
I think most of you are all very aware of the fact that I don't have a coat on this morning, a jacket. I left it at home. I'd like to read, the Lord willing, a portion of the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And if the Lord is pleased to open the matter up to me, and I hope to us to speak something concerning these wonderful and glorious things. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and I gave them thee. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. That's reading the first 10 verses, 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Now may we look the Lord in word for us. My gracious and heavenly Father, thou who art the only true and living God, and who art the creator and maker of the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, in thy loving kindness, O Father, we feel to give thee thanks this morning, that thou hast enabled us to be gathered together according to thy will and purpose, and we only hope it may be thy will to be in our midst, to enable us to worship thee, praise, exalt, and lift up thy name above every name which has ever been named. O Lord, we come realizing how far off we stand so far as our flesh is concerned. But if we're not gracious, if we're not deceived, Heavenly Father, thou hast done great things for us. For the time was when we were dead in trespasses and in sins and didn't realize and didn't know it. But we do feel that through the working of thy mighty power and because of thy great love, that thou hast quickened us and brought us to see and to know and feel, to realize so well that we were dead in trespasses and in sins and enjoyed and did the same things that the people today do who are dead in sins and do not know it. We thank thee therefore, O Lord, because we know that it is of thy great love and mercy that thou hast condescended to each one of us and has taught us, sent forth thy Spirit into our hearts and taught us that we have been made to know not only what we are in our flesh, but has given an humble hope that by thy grace and because of thy love, thou didst give thy Son, sent him here to redeem thy people from all their sins. And we know that it is because of that great love, nothing is what we are or have or worthy of in our flesh, but because that thou hast loved thy people with an everlasting love. We come, Father, desiring, if we know our hearts, to praise and adore and exalt thy great name. But we've long since learned that thou art not worshipped just with, as one has said, with the hands of men, but thou hast said that the hour is come now is when they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. For thou dost seek such to worship thee, do worship thee in spirit and in truth. So we stand before thee and bowed, O Lord, this morning, realizing that it is by thy grace and thy grace alone that we have been brought to know these things. And we thank thee, best to know how. Pray thee to continue to lead us and guide us and direct us through the further journey that thou hast allotted to each one of us in this world. We pray thee, O Lord, to be a very present help in our times of need, because we sometimes get so to feeling so little and unworthy, and to realize that we're not worthy, that thou shouldst even look upon us with pity or compassion. And yet, O Lord, if were it not for thy grace, were it not for thy pity and compassion, we don't know. We haven't the slightest idea what we would be. But this world, we realize, is not our home. We live here in this world, and we feel to realize that thou hast brought us forth in the flesh, in this nature of ours. But not only that, but thou hast, before the world began, chosen thy people in thy Son, and sent him here for the purpose of redeeming them. So, Lord, that thou who knowest the thoughts of each one of us and not bowed, who knowest our needs, who knowest that we feel to be so little, and thankful as we humbly hope unto thee, we pray thee to be in our midst this morning to take our minds and thoughts away from the vain, perishing, foolish things of this life. Place them on things which are heaven and things which are divine, and enable us through thy Spirit to drop, to lift up the praise of thy great and holy name. Lord, be with us, each one of us, as thou hast been with us in days past, and hast promised not to leave us, nor to forsake us. We pray thee, therefore, if it is thy will, to be a very present help as we feel to realize that we need thy help now, as much as we ever did in all of our lifetime. But we know that thy will is done, and we would pray thy will be done, because we don't know what to pray for except as thou dost enable us to pray. Lord, be with us all while we live, then save us at last in heaven. We beg for Christ's sake. Amen. I have been concerned for a week or two now concerning the false doctrines that I have been hearing preached on the radio, television, so forth. And when I remember that Jesus was sent here by God the Father for the specific purpose of revealing to his people that he had chosen in Christ before the world began, revealing to them that his grace was sufficient for them. And he came here as Moses was taught. It said, I will raise up, Moses wrote it, I will raise up a prophet like unto thyself, and I will put my words in his mouth. Now there's something very deep about that. So that I have sometimes in days past remembered that all the doctrine, everything that we have and are, is because of God is gracious and merciful to us. And we realize therefore that were it not for the fact that God loved us, that is his people, before the world began. Now that is a doctrine which is so wonderfully and distinctly taught in the scripture. And yet there's so many who feel like and who profess to be worshiping God, who do not know anything about, who are not concerned really about the purpose that God had in sending his Son here into the world. They don't realize what he came for, because unless they are activated, unless God reveals to them the same thing that he revealed to Saul of Tarsus, to Peter, James, and John, and to our brethren all through the years, if they have not been brought to see themselves as hell deserving sinners, they do not know, they're not concerned about anything except what they feel that they're doing and have to do for the Lord, for the Lord. Because that is the thought, that is the sum and substance of all the worshiping of God in which is not in spirit and in truth, that they feel that the Lord needs something and they're just the ones that can give him what he needs. But they do it for a reward. They feel that the Lord does, if they do great things for the Lord will reward them, heaven will be their home. But now I know that this, all the scriptures, every bit of the scriptures, when brought to light, when opened up to our understanding by the things of the Spirit, we realize that God sent His Son here for a specific purpose. The common doctrine is that God sent His Son here into the world to redeem, give every person an opportunity to be redeemed or to believe, and therefore if they will but exercise what all that they have, which is nothing but their flesh and nature, if they will do that, that they will be saved. And now Jesus didn't come here for that purpose. God didn't send Him here for the purpose of redeeming the whole world, or even offering to redeem the whole world. He did not make a proposition with the world, the people, or with the world, the men of the world. He didn't make a proposition with them, telling them, if you will do this and I will do that and so forth. He didn't do that. But Jesus said here, speaking to His Father, and you know, sometimes we feel to be so close to Him when He's talking to His Father in prayer. When it says here that these words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. The hour is come. The time was, you know, that the unbelievers, the Jews, and all of those unbelievers back there, they arrested Him, or attempted to arrest Him, because they hated His doctrine. They didn't know a thing in the world about Him being the Christ, the Son of the living God, because He takes a revelation from heaven for the large people to know that Jesus is the Christ. There's no way under the sun for any of us to know that Jesus is our Savior, except by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus said to Peter, you know, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has revealed it to thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And so He said, the hour is come. Now, I've thought about that and have mentioned it many times, I suspect, in your presence, that Jesus knew exactly, and told everything that God sent Him here to do. And He came here not as a free agent, not as a free will of somebody that people talk about being a free agent, that we can worship, we can believe in Jesus, or we can believe in God as a free agent, it's up to us. But Jesus didn't do that. I quoted a portion of that when He said that Moses said, I will raise up a prophet like unto you, just like unto you, and I'll put My words in his mouth. So, don't believe. Jesus said, I came not to do My will, but the will of the Father that sent Me. And this is the will of the Father that sent Me, and of all that He has given Me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. So the hour has come. Jesus came, we're told, in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So now the time had come. Jesus knew full well. He knew everything. He was God manifest in flesh. He knew. He sanctioned. He was perfectly willing to do the very things that the Father sent Him to do. And everything that Jesus preached was because that God had put His laws. God had put his everything in His heart, and He preached the very things. You know, He says, My doctrine is not mine, but His assembly. And so I've insisted, as you know, all of these years, I have insisted that the only way that God is worshipped is through and by the Spirit of God. The only truth that can be upheld in the doctrine or in the gospel of the Son of God are the things that God gave His Son and put them in His mind, in His heart, and He shall testify. He shall preach the thing that His Father gave Him to do, send Him here to preach. And so, any worship of God in reality and in truth must come down from heaven. It must come down as a revelation. Not that you could ever read this book here and find out just exactly what the truth is in Christ Jesus, because there's so many things here that only the Spirit of God reveals in the heart of His people. Because we read much in the scriptures, and the Lord opens it up to us, or when he does open it up to us, we rejoice and are exceedingly glad. But Jesus said, the hour is come. How wonderful it was that Jesus was not afraid. He did not draw back, but he knew exactly what he came to do, and he knew exactly how he should be betrayed, and he knew that he should be hanged upon the tree of the cross, nailed to the cross, all for the purpose of redeeming those that the Father had given him in covenant arrangements before the world began. And so now the hour is come, the time is come. If any prisoner should come to that place and realize that he's just about to be executed, if he had an opportunity to run. But Jesus didn't run. He went boldly. He went so peacefully, but it might be saying. And when those who came to arrest him, sent by the high priest and so forth, he said, whom do you seek? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. He was afraid. Of course, he knew that it had been possible, and we really shouldn't dwell on that. But he knew that if it were possible, if he desired to, that he could pray the Father, and the Father would send him 12 legions of angels, which he told the king that he could have nothing to do at all against, except it was the will of the Father. And so the hour has come. He goes boldly. But he's praying to the Father, and well that he might, because he knew what the Father's will was. Says, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Then he says, that thou hast given him power over all flesh. Notice, because as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now that sets this matter right up where it is, my brother. That Jesus came here to do the will of the Father, as he said, and the Father given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Not that he gave him the power to regenerate or to claim all of those Adam family as his children, not that, but that thou should give him eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, somewhere down here it says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And so, you see what a terrible mistake, what a terrible doctrine is being preached today by those who have not been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, because they say that God sent his Son here to make an offer to all men that ever shall live or have lived in the world, given an offer that if they would accept it, if they would just do certain things. You know, it's not when I was a boy, they said, well, it really doesn't matter whether you're right or not, whether what you do in the way of worship is right or not, just so you know, you do the best you know how. Well, that isn't the way Jesus taught, that thou should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. Yeah, haven't you, in your experience, my brothers and sisters, haven't you been brought to the place where you realize that you were a dead sinner, and that you didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God? I had an experience which I told you about. I won't repeat it now. But I said, yes, I believe in Jesus the Christ. Well, I didn't believe he was. I didn't know he was. I only was under the excitement. I said, yes, I believe so, but I didn't. 5 years later that, I do feel that the Lord opened up the matter to me, and I could say, I believe, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. So this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And if they don't know Jesus Christ, This is the life eternal, if there was such. This is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The if, my feeling about it is, if they were chosen, and all of those that were chosen by God the Father before the world began, Jesus revealed, or the Spirit of God revealed, to each one of those that Jesus said that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, people are talking about today that the power of the flesh of men is so powerful that even though the Spirit of God is pulling, is teaching, is trying to persuade, but they can overcome. Men can overcome this if they're for mind to do it. If those who testify that, my brethren, don't know the power of God. They don't know this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. I suppose that the best example of all that men are in the flesh is portrayed by Saul of Tarsus. He was a man that he knew exactly what he believed. He knew that Jesus was not the Christ. He knew that. And he knew that all the Jews, all of the Christians in that day, and those who professed to be followers of Jesus, he knew that that wasn't right. So he went about to destroy them. He was a blasphemer himself. He caused men, many of the Lord's people, to blaspheme. What a terrible thing it is. Blaspheme. To deny that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, but that's what he did. But the proof of the power of God, the absolutely impossible that man should resist the Spirit of God, is portrayed when Saul of Tarsus went there to just outside the gates of Damascus, and the power, the voice from heaven, the light from heaven shouted about him. This man who was boasting what he was going to do, going to Damascus there and bring back those over there that believed that Jesus was the Christ, bring them back, put them in jail, whatever else they would have done to them. But here was the place God had fixed before the world began, that he should send forth his Spirit into the heart of Saul of Tarsus, bring him out of darkness into the marvelous light, and say unto him that he should testify of me, the things that he's seen and heard, and the things that he shall be shown. So in a figure, in a way, your experience is, while I would fear to say that his experience is more vivid, maybe I shouldn't say more powerful, because the power of God brings those who are dead in sin, brings them to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And if the power of God is to send forth into their hearts, they may try to resist. But the time will come when it can be just about like Thomas was. When he was proved that Jesus was the Christ, and he saw the nails, the print of the nails in his hands, he says, "My Lord and my God." So it takes the Spirit of God. Nothing else will do it. You might go to Sunday school, you might go to this, that, and the other, and you might read your Bible, you might read many commentaries. I'm telling you about, you might read articles in the Science or other papers, and where people are writing the dealings of the Lord, of the experiences. Now, unless you have experienced something like that, you can't believe it. It seems preposterous for anybody to claim that God speaks in the heart of a poor dead sinner. And yet that's what he does. But when and if he speaks in your heart, you will say, just as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, therefore, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Glorified thee on the earth. I have testified of God in his purposes. I have testified of him. I glorified him as the only true and living God. So I have glorified him on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Aren't you glad that it was a finished work? There are very few things that are really finished, that we might say in this life. But here were the work that the Father gave Jesus, his son, to do. And he, almost at the very end of his lifetime, just before the hour was come, he said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now there was not a partial work that could be finished, but the whole thing, the whole purpose of God that he had revealed from the foundation of the world, these things must be done. And Jesus, he said, I have finished work which thou hast given me. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world that was. He received the Son of God. Glorify thou me with thine own self. Just that was satisfied. That was all and in all. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. This proves, of course, contrary to the teachings of many, that Jesus was not the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was not a divine being at all. A lot of people don't believe that he was. They said he's just a prophet, maybe, or something on that order. But unless Jesus is revealed in the hearts of poor sinners that he is my Savior, we will deny that he is a Savior unless we have felt the power, the cleansing power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as it is applied to us in an experimental way. So he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Now I want to dwell on that just a little bit, because I do believe the scriptures uphold, in every case, it upholds the fact that he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So again he said, the thing that he came to do was to do the will of the Father, and I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Now, Jesus didn't go around to a bunch of men and women standing over talking, and he'd go up to them and commence talking to them and tell them it's about time they were believing that Jesus was the Christ, that I'm the Christ. He didn't do that. No, but in that power that was his from the Father, the same power that's manifested in him while he was here in the world, the same power that was in heaven, his Father. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. You know, there's a place somewhere in the gospel that said that two were in the field. Two were in the field, reaping perhaps, and one was taken, the other left. There was a choosing. The Lord has his people, and he doesn't send it to these things to those to everybody, and he didn't pretend to. We don't believe that it is, because if he had, it like somebody wrote some years ago, and wanted to know if the old school Baptists believed that there were people in other churches that were Christians, and they've been taught or been told that we selfish and we just believe that we're the only people that will be saved, but that's a false thing. But I wrote them back. I wrote this person back and said, certainly we believe that the Lord has a people in every kindred, nation, tongue, in every church in the land, we might say, simply because we have known many who have been brought out of churches and brought into the knowledge of the truth and denied the fact that they had been good, and therefore because of their goodness and because of their works they were saved. So that's the way it goes, but there's a lot of people say that the old school Baptists believe that you're the only people. No, we don't believe we're the only people. But I'll tell you, my friend and brother, what my thought is, that everyone who has been born with spirit, brought into the knowledge of the truth, they believe the doctrine that's laid down right here in this book. Believe that, because it's taught, they taught that. They taught that in an experimental way. And another thing that goes on, it says, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Well, should we, should I, should you attempt to pray for the whole world? Jesus didn't. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Yes? Haven't you sometimes, knowing that your sister or brother in the church, that they were full of trouble, that they were doubting and fearing and trembling, don't you feel to pray for them? The Lord's will be done. God, that we pray thee to give them grace according to thy will. Jesus said, I pray for them. I'm satisfied that if Jesus had prayed for the whole world would be saved. But it was God's will. It wasn't his will. And so I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. Don't you love to hear that we had, I believe I told this, not here, because but we had a couple, a man and his wife to come by to visit us a week or two ago. And they were Dutch, Netherlands people, and they still were speaking to some extent, at least they were still capable of speaking the Dutch language. And they came, they read something in the signs, somebody gave them a sign that I'd written, it just seemed to suit them. And so they thought that they must come by. And I tell you, my brother, just when I sat down and we listened to these two folk talk, I never heard testimony by anybody, anywhere, at any time, testimony of the power of God and the doctrine of God. I said, because they believed that. And yet they were in a church, an organization, which they freely said that some things that we don't believe, but that's the work we have. But the Lord has a people everywhere, every kindred, nation, tribe, tongue, and so forth. He has them all. He knows where they are. The thought came to my mind quite recently that here was God as the ruler of the universe. And he, if he speaks to us here, he also speaks to those that are 10,000 miles away, because he knows them. He knows his people. He knows every one of them. And so there's no question but what, when it is his will and purpose to send forth his spirit in the hearts of those that are 10,000 miles from here, he does it. And he does it because he knows his people wherever they are. I pray for them. Pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine. Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Don't we love sometimes to talk to our brethren and sisters and the friends that know the truth? Are we glad to testify and to talk about how good the Lord has been to us, realizing that we haven't deserved a single thing of his goodness or his mercy? But if he dealt with us according to what we deserve, we never know anything about salvation by the grace of God. We never have any hope of heaven. We never have anything at all. But he doesn't deal with us that way. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. There's nobody, I don't believe there's ever been a person that has been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light, sort of like, just exactly like Saul of Tarsus. And what in active life they always were glad to talk about how good and gracious and merciful and long-suffering the Lord is. And now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He's going away. He's going away. I'm no more, the hour has come, he said, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You see, he prayed for nobody except those that the Father had given him. Now, let's talk, that may be considered by, it would be considered by those who don't know the power of God, or the purposes of God, the will of the Father, to say that's a very narrow doctrine. Because is it really a narrow doctrine? Are we going to call Christ as the Son of God narrow-minded? Just because he said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. And he prayed, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Oh, what a wonderful Jesus he is. What a wonderful Savior he is. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Of course, Judas was a betrayer, and this was his, it was appointed, even the amount of money that was to be paid, that he was to receive. Yes, he kept them all except, he said, the son of perdition. And he didn't lose him, because it was God's eternal will before the world began that he should do this. And he wasn't really a lost character by Jesus not doing something for him. But he was lost because he had never brought out of those terrible things that we are all in our flesh. I kept them in thy name while I was with them in the world. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them was lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And I sometimes rejoice, and I hope you have too, in reading that such and such thing was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Everything that was prophesied, everything God determined and gave to his people, everything that the prophets prophesied, everything that God promised, has or will be fulfilled to a jot and tittle. He never forget a thing in the world. Never will forget, because they took everything that Jesus suffered, if I may put it that way, and I must put it that way, took everything that Jesus suffered here as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as the Redeemer of you, and we hope, I hope me, as Redeemer of people, he took all of his suffering, he took everything that he did, that he went through, underwent here in the world, that you and I might be and should be saved. And so he said, none of them have lost, not a one of them. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that thou might have, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we've heard the expression, haven't we? This world is not our home. No, this world isn't. We're sojourners here. But this world isn't really our home. We're passing through in a sense this world here. God is preparing his people. God is revealing to his people what they are in the flesh, those that he chose in Christ before the world began. He sends his spirit in their hearts, and he teaches them what vile sinners they are and how unworthy they are. And yet when he finished bringing them down to see themselves as nothing and less than nothing, then he revealed, yes, religion, true religion is a revealed religion, as I quote it, Peter. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah, the flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee. And so all the truth, every doctrine, every bit of the doctrine, everything is that is displayed right here in this book, comes down from heaven. And anything that doesn't come down from heaven is contrary to what is taught here. And you and I have no right to believe it. I have no right to preach it. No man has the right to preach the truth, things that are not the truth. But it's done today. The great people, the great evangelists, they're doing these things today, and they think they're saving the world. They just think that they're going to save somebody that Jesus didn't die for. Would it be possible? Absolutely not. All that the Father given me shall come unto me. I don't know why people can't see that. Just to read that one scripture. I don't know. All that the Father has given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will no wise can stop. No man can come, Jesus said unto me, except my Father would send me to him. And yet, taking the words right out of his mouth, denying the very things that our blessed Savior said. And you know, my brethren, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing because untruth is being preached to dying men and women. And I heard it when I was a boy, and I've heard it some time since, that they portray the horrors of hell. And if you don't do something about this now and save yourself now, the hour is getting late. And if you don't accept it, it may be too late by tomorrow or next Sunday. You better accept it now. Oh, that's what they say. But is Jesus slack concerning his promises? No, not slack. Lord, not slack concerning his promises. But long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing. But it really should be lost. But all comes in knowledge of truth. So, my brethren, in this scattered way, I brought to the things that were on my mind. And I pray that the Lord will put them in your hearts to understand that Jesus came here as the Son of God to preach things, contend for the things that the Father had given unto him. And so, whatever that you may, if you ever find anything that you believe, that you think you believe, and you don't find it in the Scriptures, you do well to go to the Lord in prayer. So, Lord, open up my understanding. May God be with you.
Turning to page 107, if you will, page 107, first hymn on the book, in the book, on the page, rather, I should say. Brother Gladden, you can lead that, Father, whatever, our earthly bliss.
He said, Mrs. Steele wrote this, I have rejoiced in reading some of her hymns. Father, whatever, our earthly bliss, thy sovereign will denies, accepted at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm and thankful heart from every murmur free. The blessing of thy grace impart and make me live in thee. Let the sweet hope that thou art mine, my life and death attend, with thy presence through my journey shine and crown my journey's end. Let us stand and sing while we sing the not smoking door to the second
one.
glorious things at the mouth, and the things accomplished for us by our blessed Savior, thy Son. Send them forth into our hearts, O Lord, by thy Spirit, that we may rejoice and be exceedingly glad, that we may be thankful in our very hearts that thou hast loved us and sent thy Son to redeem us from our sins and our iniquities. Lord, thou knowest what each one of us needs. We pray thee to give us grace, that we might desire that thy will be done. But we need thy grace, O Lord, that we should be reconciled to whatever thy providence and dealings are with us. So be with us, Father, all of our days, while we're in the world, and save us at last in heaven. We thank you, Jesus' sake. Amen.